Unified Radio on AFR Talk, the Matt Friedemann Show. The attainment of knowledge is great, but the application of truth is destiny, and we have a rendezvous with that destiny. We're delighted to have with us a friend today, a gentleman named Dr. Mitch Cruz. He's an author, a speaker, and a driving force behind something called the Restoration Road. It's a ministry movement, actually, that equips believers to live authentically where culture connects with Christ. He's written a volume by the same name called Restoration Road, Restoration Road, and Dr. Cruz is with us now. Dr. Cruz, welcome to the Matt Friedemann Show on AFR Talk.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Hey, listen, you've written this volume about restoration. I guess you know about restoration with cars, but you decided maybe I can turn around and say there's something even more important than doing some restorative work with vehicles. Maybe we ought to be talking about the kind of restorative work that God does in the human soul and with people today, and we surely appreciate that kind of writing. Tell me why this theme is so important to you.
Well, I travel around the world when I own Cruise International, the collector car auction company, finding the best cars and the best collections to sell at auction. And I had my own restoration road journey where I had got caught up in money and materialism and workaholism. And it wasn't until I lost almost everything when we were in economic recession that I was willing to surrender that which I was holding back from God. And I picture myself moving from the pilot seat to the co-pilot seat, and I picture Christ moving in that pilot seat. And my uncle, my dad's brother, an attorney, and the most righteous person I knew, was also the most accepting person I knew, asked me a question that changed my life. He said, have you ever thought about changing the scorecard of your life from money to wisdom? And I grew up going to church three times a week. I was, I surrendered my life to Christ when I was 9. But after a decade in the marketplace, I really wasn't my mother's son anymore. And I, now that I had nothing, I was really open to this idea, but I didn't know what he meant. And he explained to me how wisdom is God's righteousness intersecting with street smarts. Today I would call it the vertical intersecting with the horizontal. It's how to make sense of my relationship with God to my circumstances, and man, did I ever need that. And so I began a journey of exchanging my foolish choices for wise ones, and I watched God restore my life. And after about 8 or 9 years of God restoring my business and my life and my heart, I felt that a prompting from him to become a carrier of the message.
Interesting that one of the parables you use to bring this to light is the prodigal son. I think when you get low enough, Mitch, you get to where that's not a hard exchange to make. You want to make it. But I think there are probably some cases sometimes where it is a difficult exchange. It's hard to say no to something like money and yes to wisdom. Was it easy, hard? Was there some difficult things about it for you?
Oh, it was very hard. I use that parable because it's a picture of three hearts. The older brother in the parable is a stone heart. He's in a mechanical relationship with the father, and he's really doing it all for himself. The younger son, the younger brother, is a sand heart, and he's loose and a little licentious probably, and he's scattered in the wind, and he wants, you know, nothing to do with the father. So what we have there, back to my original definition, is the stone heart wants the vertical at the expense of the horizontal. The sand heart wants the horizontal, you know, my relationships, my task, my life at the expense of the vertical with God. But then there's this heart of the Father that we're designed to have, and that's what authenticity is, and that's a clay heart, one that's humble in heart, and that's where wisdom comes. And the Father is humble, the Father is wise, and that's what he wants for us. But it is hard. It was hard for me. I remember reading a couple of verses that are really important to me today. Proverbs 8, 10, and 11 talks about choosing wisdom, that it's more valuable than gold, and instruction is more valuable than silver, and it's more valuable than rubies, and nothing you desire can equal it. And I remember wanting that to be true for my life, but not quite ready to say, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if I can actually live where I believe that's true, because I needed the finances so bad to get my business restored. But I did experience that to be true, and I'm never going back to where I was.
Is there any restoration, complete, total, a wonderful, joyous restoration without, like it said in this prodigal son parable, the son basically groveling. Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He, again, turned around when he found himself feeding pigs. I wonder if there's any way you can really make that full restoration without some kind of spiritual groveling.
I don't think so, and that's really what humility is. It's bending the knees of our heart, and there really is no restoration until that happens. Jesus said, fully satisfied are the poor in spirit, are those who actually grovel, spiritually speaking, recognizing their moral bankruptcy before a holy God, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So we're not going to experience God's divine reign, rule, and order in our lives until we do bend the knees of our hearts face to the ground and say, you know what, it's not me, it's about you, and do what you will. And that's what really changed my life, because we live in a culture where it's the opposite. And it doesn't take us very long walking down a religious road to say, wow, look how I deserved everything that God's done for me. And it's just not a safe place to be. In fact, Proverbs takes us on a progressive hardening of heart that's quite foolish.
Do you think there's any danger? I'm thinking out loud here, Mitch. Do you think there's any danger in living with wisdom apart from something that makes wisdom all that it was meant to be? For instance, I'm thinking about Solomon right now. He asked for wisdom, got wisdom. Asked for discernment, got discernment. But boy, that guy's life ended tragically. What happened?
Trusted in his giftedness rather than godliness. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the danger that all of us have, that the more things begin to go well in our lives, the more we risk trusting in ourselves all over again. And see, that's the irony of a sand and stone heart. At the end of the day, both are determining for themselves what is right. Both are trusting in themselves, whereas a clay heart trusts in another, capital A. And trusting in Christ is what we were designed for. Only He can satisfy our desires. Only He can make us new. And our search is right. We just search in the wrong places. And unfortunately, we end up trusting in ourselves for restoration. And all those self-restoration attempts leave us dissatisfied and dead inside.
You know, there's a famous Methodist missionary, long deceased now, a guy named E. Stanley Jones, that said, four-part outline with the prodigal son story. It's home, it's sick of home, it's homesick, and then it's home again. One of the things you talk about in this volume is how we can get lost in today's world. And if you were to categorize some of the major ways that people get lost in today's world, so that sick of home stage, what would they be?
Well, God gave us four primary desires that I see in Genesis 1:27 through 30, and two S words, two C words. Significance, by being created in His image, has the word sign in it, significance does. Security, by being given everything that we needed. Contentment, by being blessed by God. Kibosh, to subdue the earth. It's a good thing to bring contentment to the earth, to be fruitful and multiply. And then control, by being empowered by God to rule over the earth. So significance, security, contentment, control. What happens is that no matter what it looks like on the outside with our time, talent, or treasure, whatever we've pursued apart from God, what's going on in the inside is those desires, the beat of our hearts, we're searching for the satisfaction of those desires in whatever we do. And the irony is, the more we should pursue significance apart from God, the more insignificant we feel and become. The more we pursue security, the more insecure, you know, apart from God. The more we pursue contentment apart from God, the more discontent. And the more we pursue control apart from God, the more out of control. And that's why I tried to chronicle in Restoration Road, is that's what's going on in each one of us. No matter what it looks like on the outside, whether it's sand-hearted, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, gambling, whatever it is, or if it's stone-hearted religion and legalism, that's what's going on the inside. And until we surrender that, like you said, do that spiritual groveling with God, we're not going to experience restoration.
The book is Restoration Road. The author is Mitch Cruz. He's with us today. And Dr. Cruz, one of the things I find interesting is in the parable of the prodigal son, it says he came to his senses. When people come to their senses, what typically happens to bring them to that point of turning around?
Well, in a simple way, I think we realize that we're at the end of our rope, that coming to our senses, we realize that we can't restore ourselves. And we've lived in that pretense for so long that maybe it takes a while for us to get there. Jesus told the Pharisees in Matthew 23, look, you've attempted to restore yourself on the outside, thinking that you're going to be restored on the inside, but inside, yeah, you're just full of pretense and you're dead. You're just acting and you're dead inside. And we all need to get there. We all need to realize that whatever we've done for our fix of choice, and even if it's the treadmill of religious good works, that if we think that we're going to restore ourselves from the outside in, we're just kidding ourselves. We think that if we go somewhere and do something, we will be somebody. But God's designed it that life would be from the inside out, begins in our heart, beats with our desires, and is fleshed out in our time, talent, and treasure. So who we are designed to be in Christ determines what we're designed to do in Christ, which determines where we're designed to go in Christ. And it's a radical paradigm shift from what the world tells us we should live.
Interesting. I want to talk with you a little bit about this. When Jesus calls his disciples, the first thing they do is to start doing. I mean, they literally start doing. And I wonder if doing can't sometimes somehow work its way down into our souls, because Jesus obviously has them doing in order that they might eventually become. Is there anything wrong with looking at the Bible that way?
Well, I think the risk there is that we will trust in our works and ourselves rather than the one who they surrendered their hearts to first. And it's easy to miss that. I mean, we talk a lot about, you know, if you just take these steps, your heart will follow. I really think we need to fully surrender our hearts to Christ first and allow him to be the restorer of our lives.
Well, yes, absolutely. And, of course, if you look at it that way, when he said, follow me, that's what they started doing, was following him. But also I do think that there was some kind of doing dynamic there with Jesus, with their hand in Jesus, that was part of their restoration and part of the restoration road. Listen, we're going to talk more with Dr. Mitch Cruz right after this break. He's author of a volume called Restoration Road. You can get this volume at Amazon.com, or if you want to go to the Matt Friedman Show Facebook page, we'll have it listed there. You can find it that way. It is the Matt Friedman Show. Taking a break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Imagine what it must feel like to be living in Haiti right now. A tremendous earthquake shook their whole world, and life as they know it will never be the same again. Our lives can get like that too. One day you think everything is fine, and then the next, your life is rattled to the very core. Perhaps all seems fine here and now, but what about eternity? Where can we find solid ground that will never let us down? Let me give you a shake-proof solution. Jesus Christ. He is the only one who promises never to leave you or forsake you. You may be thinking that Jesus wouldn't want to help you because you have too much sin. Well, Jesus is the Son of God who came to earth to die for your sins, to give you forgiveness and new life. And he wants to have a personal relationship with you. To learn more, call 888-NEED-HIM. That's 888-NEED-HIM. Don't let your eternity fall apart.
Hi, this is Brian Fisher, the host of Focal Point on the American Family Radio Talk Network. We believe the truth claims of Scripture are true for all people at all times in all places and apply even to the world of public policy. Focal Point is the home of muscular Christianity on conservative talk radio, and I hope you'll join us every day from 1 to 3 p.m. Central Time as we explore the intersection of truth and politics.
Spyware. You've heard about it, but what does it do? Spyware tracks what you're doing and allows companies to turn around and send promotional material and other annoyances to you via email and pop-ups. Spyware infection occurs when you click yes on random downloads, when you open certain pop-ups, and when you visit particular websites. A list of 9 guidelines to reduce your risk of infection is available at afafilter.com.
AFA recommends the no override filter from Be Secure, who also offers spyware protection.
It's the Matt Freedom Show on AFR Talk, the fellowship of the unashamed, unashamed of God, unashamed of Judeo-Christian values, unashamed of admitting we're sinners saved by grace through faith, unashamed that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Thanks so very much for being with us today. We're here today with Dr. Mitchell Cruz. He's an author, speaker, and written a book called The Restoration Road. However, he also has a ministry movement that he has titled The Restoration Road. Dr. Cruz, talk to us about this ministry movement called The Restoration Road.
Well, we desire to see everyone walk Restoration Road, to walk that journey with Christ as their restorer. So we've developed a website called therestorationroad.com, and people can share their stories of restoration in Christ there. They can also read the first chapter of the book, Restoration Road, in a cool way. They can look at the first chapter of the study guide in a really cool way online, and there's other materials there. But I think from Genesis 3 on in the Bible, we see this theme of restoration, that God's restoring the hearts, desires, and lives of people if we would just bend the knees of our hearts and fully surrender to Him. So it's a whole different paradigm shift from acting like I've already got it together, that I've already self-restored, and that pretense and death inside that Jesus was talking about with the Pharisees. So we'd like people to find authenticity, reflecting the design of the designer, and move away from that pretense, that foolishness, that dissatisfaction, that unrestoration, and find the humility, wisdom, authenticity, and restoration, the satisfaction of our desires in Christ.
If you were to look at, and I understand you have a real appreciation for the prodigal son, as do I, particularly at the point of restoration, but if you had a couple of other favorite biblical stories that you would look at to say, now there is a true case of restoration and it inspires everybody I talk to, what would those stories be?
Wow. There's so many that come to me, and I'm trying to think, is there one in the book I want to reference versus one I just read this morning? I read one this morning that I think is really powerful. It's John 8. And the teachers of the law had captured a woman caught in adultery. And she was probably framed, and there's a whole lot going on there. They probably didn't give her the proper warning. And so they bring her to Jesus. And he does something really unique, and scholars debate over why he's doing what he's doing, but he bends down. He's getting ready to teach in the temple courts, and he bends down and he starts, moving his finger in the sand on the stone floor. And all the attention is taken away from that woman and is drawn to what Jesus is doing on the ground. And he exposes the motive, because there's a problem there. If they do capital punishment, they're breaking the Roman law. If they let her go, they're breaking the Jewish law. So they're really trying to trap Jesus. That's the whole thing. But what I think is so interesting there is you see all three hearts that we talked about, sand, stone, and clay, at work in that moment. The stone hearts, they want to trap Jesus. They want him out of their lives. They had control over religion, and they were profiting from it financially. And so that's what they were using this woman to do, and they were even twisting their own law to do it. You have the sand heart of the woman caught in adultery. It was loose, it was licentious, it was scattered. And then you have the clay heart of Christ down there with his finger on the ground. And he takes the attention away from her, and he says, where'd they go? Because they all left when Jesus exposed their motives of their stone-heartedness. And he says, who condemns you? She says, no one. He says, well, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Go and don't miss this mark anymore. And there's a picture of Christ taking the attention away from her sin, and in essence a picture of him paying for our sin to free us from not only the penalty of sin but from the power of sin in our lives, and to go and sin no more. And I just think that's a great picture, because your listeners today probably have a little sand or a little stone somewhere in their lives that they could surrender to Christ, and he could make that a clay heart and reflect the design of the designer, and they could begin to walk Restoration Road in a whole new way.
Wow. Listen, I wonder, of course, when you see Jesus show up on a scene, typically there's so much that happens so fast, but sometimes restoration takes a long time. I'm thinking right now about Saul of Tarsus, and of course, eventually we'll know him as Paul, greatest missionary we've ever had. But that story takes a while. In fact, it's a period of almost a decade before Barnabas finally comes and gets him and says, let's get moving, let's go on a church planting mission for the Lord. That story takes a while. Do you find that's the way with his restoration? Sometimes it happens quickly, but sometimes it's a long, long journey.
Well, yeah, it is a journey, and that's why I use the title road, because sometimes it's two steps forward, one step back. And I think depending on the level of where we came from and what how hard our hearts are and where God wants to take us, it might take a while before he gets us in a position where he's going to use us for this other purpose that he has, and that's to restore others. Now, sometimes he does it on right away. I mean, the woman at the well runs off, and people start coming to Christ right away. I think we can share that story, but Paul was a very educated, learned man, and he restudied everything that he had learned through these new lenses of restoration of this humble heart of Christ, because he had very much a stone heart prior to that. And I think that's what God did with me in the marketplace. I think he wanted me to live out that restoration immediately in the marketplace, my new journey. But there was a lot that was going to be surrendered over time. And then he used me to be a carrier of the message, to be a tool to restore others. Can I use a car illustration quickly to
describe
that? Well, it's kind of like when a car collector brings his car to the restore. And we're going to talk about just three movements here quickly. He says he surrenders this old basket case of a car to the restorer, and he says, "I can't restore this, you can." The very first thing that a car restorer does is he takes it apart piece by piece, and he begins to restore these little individual pieces of the car meticulously. And then step three is he reassembles the car, and when he takes it out, it's going to and shows it and drives it and reflects the original design of the designer. The paint's going to get faded, the rust will come on the metal, the tires will wear, the interior will tear, and there'll be another trip to the restore. The same thing is true with our lives. We surrender our old basket case of our lives and say, "I can't, you can." And that's the heart condition that I want your listeners to realize. I think you and I were saying the same thing. That's what's going on with the disciples when they're going to trust this guy. They had gotten passed over by rabbis to be disciples, and that's why they were in the marketplace doing their thing. And so when this rabbi comes that they heard teach a while, they're saying in their hearts, "I can't, you can." And then what happens next is he starts to restore those individual pieces, our sins, piece by piece, and it's followed by all these little "I can't, you cans" in our lives. And then he reassembles us, kind of like you just talked about Paul, and like me, I think, in the marketplace, and he says, "Okay, now go and be an agent for restoration for me," and we have to surrender both the tragedies and the triumphs. We give him the glory for those triumphs. We give the glory to the restorer, just like a car collector would when he's showing the car. But we also, those tragedies, those steps backward, you know, we got to surrender all over again, surrender the new to the restorer. So we surrender the old, the sins piece by piece, and then the new to the restorer.
Mm. What happens when someone who has been restored never quite gets around to be the agent of restoration, somebody that God wants to use to help other people get restored? What happens to that restoration?
I think those are two steps back, and depending on what kind of heart we have, it's just more sand or more stone. The danger of someone, I think, who goes to church three times a week, I'm not saying this is bound to happen and this is a fault of the environment, but the risk that we have as fallen individuals is, at least what I did in my own life, is a stone heart, that I start using it as a tool to manipulate God to do whatever I want him to do, and at the end of the day, that makes me God, little g, in my life. We just need to keep coming back to that clay heart, to surrender to him so that he will use us to restore others. And I think that's his design. There's something about a softness of heart, an authenticity, a humility that will multiply that in other people. So when I'm vulnerable and transparent and authentic with you, then you have a tendency to be vulnerable, transparent, and authentic with me. And I write in Restoration Road that every encounter becomes a three-way call, that if I'm online with God and then I'm online with you, theoretically, you're now online with God. That's his design. And pride brings static on the line, but humility offers a clear connection.
Well, I tell you what, anybody who's listening today must be thinking, this is one fascinating interview. And probably a fascinating book as well, Restoration Road by Mitch Cruz. I want you to remind people again about your website and exactly what this website can offer them.
Okay, they can go to therestorationroad.com, therestorationroad.com, and we have a chapter one on there in a really cool way of Restoration Road. We have the study guide chapter one on there as well. We have stories of restoration, and we have other tools to help you find Restoration Road, and you can get the book there as well with a link to Amazon. And then we also have MitchCruz.com, K-R-U-S-E, MitchCruz.com, with other tools for restoration and for leaders as well.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful work you've done here, and thank you for it, Mitch. And just one last quick thought, about 30 seconds. Authenticity, why is this such a big theme of your book?
Because a clay heart allows the fingerprints of the designer to appear in our lives, and that's really what we want. Our postmodern culture deconstructs from the outside in, and the only thing that grows stronger when that happens is somebody who's the same from the outside in. So authenticity is really what we're all searching for. Theoretically, it's the number one value in our postmodern culture.
Do you suppose authenticity had anything to do with people looking at Jesus saying he preaches with authority? Any connection there?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And at the end of the day, he's revealing that he's God in the flesh. And so that's the ultimate picture of authenticity and the vertical intersecting with the horizontal, fully God and fully man.
The book is Restoration Road. The author is Dr. Mitch Cruz. And check out his websites at therestorationroad.com and mitchcruz.com. Mitch Cruz is spelled M-I-T-C-H. Mitch Cruz, K-R-U-S-E. MitchCruz.com. Dr. Cruz, thanks so very much for being with us. A real honor to have you on the program today.
Thank you, Matt.
All right. Truth, Justice, and the American Family Way. We're taking a break. After the news, we'll be back.